Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria, the original Lifestyle CEO, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. Today is Monday, January 16th, and it's time to wish Martin Luther King once again a happy birthday. Such a great man who did so many things for so many people who will never know him personally. And, of course, I'm one of those people, and so is everyone on today's show listening. Thank you, Martin, for your sacrifice. Hey, you guys, you know, the inspiration for the Lifestyle CEO is really the over 450 members of the Handmade Beauty Network. For those of you who don't know, HBN is the trade organization I started, oh, goodness, can't believe it's been 6 years now, just about 6 years ago, to promote the business interest of manufacturers of handmade beauty products like cosmetics and candles, soaps, fragrances, aromatherapy products, and things like that. And we now have 450 members in 8 countries, including places as far away as New Zealand and Australia. So I encourage you all to visit handmadebeauty.com. That's handmadebeauty.com, where you'll find a super online member directory inviting you to search for the products you want by state or country, by company name, or by the type of product that you're interested in. So come on by and visit and learn about the unique benefits of handmade beauty products, those that are made in very small quantities using a very high proportion of natural ingredients at handmadebeauty.com. You know, today I'm taking a break from our usual format, and I want to just say, let you all know right now, we've got a call-in number for you, a toll-free number, 800-773-0355. That's 800-773-0355. And we're taking your calls today because I have received so many email messages and so many phone calls over the course of the past several weeks and even months and years about the question of how to handle copyrights and trademark. Now, this has always been an issue for small business, but it's especially an issue now because of that great thing called the Internet. Now, the Internet in many ways has, quote-unquote, leveled the playing field for small businesses, and many companies are able to compete and earn a profit in the marketplace now, whereas 15 years ago they would not have been able to because the ability of the Internet to generate new customers was just not available back then. But now it is, and you can be a very small business in a very small town, and you can generate as much money as you want using the Internet. Really, you can have your own website. You can use eBay. You can use other people's websites. You can have a drop shipping arrangement. There's just so many things you can do. And, of course, we're all preparing to address this issue in some detail at the upcoming Lifestyle CEO Conference on January 28th because I think it is that important. In fact, I agree with one trademark lawyer that I know here in the D.C. area. I agree with him that intellectual property, that is your copyrights, your trademarks, and your patents, are really going to pan out to be the most valuable assets that small businesses can have from here on out because of your ability to leverage them to generate brand awareness and revenue, of course, two very, very important things. So I've gotten emails from people saying, please do a show on this topic, please, please, please. And for those of you who didn't know, in addition to being the host of the show and the president of the Handmade Beauty Network, I'm also a practicing attorney, and this is one of my areas of specialty. So I spend a lot of time every week helping small business owners to ferret out these copyright-related issues. And I, just to give you an example of how this comes up, for those of you who don't know, I'm going to describe to you really quickly basically what intellectual property is. It's, for lack of a better term and to simplify it, it's really the fruit of your brain. Anything that you create, anything that you make up that comes, that springs forth from your gray matter can be intellectual property. You can turn it into intellectual property basically using the law to do that, but it's intellectual property nonetheless. So, for example, if you paint a picture, if you write a book, if you record your song on a CD, if you patent a process to create a new kind of a product, or even an old kind of a product, if you patent the process for something, that's intellectual property. Intellectual property is also your trademark. And that really simplifies down to what is the name of your business? What are some of the brand names that you are using on some of your products? So, for example, if your business is Estee Lauder, that's a cosmetics company. Estee Lauder is your trademark. And any of the products that that company sells, the names that they give some of their creams or lotions or scrub-type products, all of those are also brand names, which can also be trademarked and protected as intellectual property. Now, why are these things so important, the things that you create? Well, because they create value for your business. I deal a lot with cosmetics manufacturers, and one of the questions that I get most frequently is, how can I protect my recipe? And this is certainly an issue for any product manufacturer. If you made cars or eyeglass cases and you thought they were especially unique, well, you certainly wouldn't want everybody and their brother being able to knock it off, that is to replicate your product and take it to market. But in fact, the law is not set up to protect recipes and things like that. Now, you can get a patent on a new type of process if your recipe amounts to a new type of process. There's a very, very high standard for that, however. And for most small business owners, they really have a recipe, do not have something that is patentable or capable of maturing to patent status. And so if you have a great cream or a great lotion, or you've come up with a really wonderful recipe for some a candle or a scent blend or even a perfume, those recipes cannot be protected by law. So the next question I get from people is, well, gee, if I can't protect my recipe, then I have to list my ingredients on the label for consumer protection laws, then how in the world can I be the only manufacturer of this product? How can I protect my recipe from everybody else ripping it off and making money off of this great idea that I had? Well, the way to do that is to trademark the name of the product. Trademark your business name. I'm going to talk about how to do that and take some of your questions about that issue as well. You can call them in at 800-773-0355. Have you ever gone to someone else's website or received an email from a friend that informed you that your entire website had been copied someplace else? And I got to tell you, if that hasn't happened to you and you're in business, it will. There is absolutely very little question about it. One morning a couple of years ago, I woke up and did my 30-second commute down to my office, booted up my laptop, and answered some email, and one of them informed me that one of my websites, the entire thing, was available for sale on eBay for $2. And anyone could buy it for $2. I could not believe it. I went over to eBay, logged on, and lo and behold, much to my dismay and horror, there was my entire website there. I went on the internet, I guess, I think it was the same year that that happened. I got an email from a friend that said, I was surfing the web this morning and I was looking for something that I knew was at your website, but it seems that your website is now located someplace else. And again, much to my horror, I actually found my entire website at someone else's website. And this was a different website. So if it hasn't happened to you, it will. I had a client call me just last month in December, right before the Christmas holidays. Someone had lifted about 100 photographs from her website and product descriptions. This was a competing company. They had lifted the photographs of the products that they sold as well as the descriptions of the products. That's a copyright violation. Now, everyone, of course, knows that it's stealing, but for some reason, people seem to think that on the internet, some level of quote-unquote stealing is okay, but it really isn't. And so what we ended up doing in that particular case was contacting the owner of the website that had taken the photographs and the website copy emailed that person and requested that they remove it. Well, guess what? We never heard anything back. So we had to take an extraordinary step of actually pulling that person's website down, totally disabling it through their hosting company. And once we took that step, that got their attention. It wasn't what we wanted to do, but we really had no choice. And once we did that, it got the person's attention, and we were able then to disable the website, and that person decided to comply with our request. So it really is something that's very, very important and something to really think about. In terms of trademark, I deal with clients on a frequent basis who have problems with other people taking their company name or registering some variation of their company name as a domain name and then putting competing products there. That's an issue, but you know what? Most people know that's an issue and they kind of think there's something wrong with it and you shouldn't be doing it, but most people don't know what to do about it. So we are going to talk about that during the show, and I want to encourage you to call your questions in. If you do, 800-773-0355, I will answer to the best of my ability. I can't give legal advice, but I certainly can provide you with some direction to help you, because this is really, if it happens to you, it's literally taking money out of your bank account. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back and talk more about protecting your business's most valuable asset. This is Donna Maria and the Lifestyle CEO Show. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Hi there, everyone, and welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria, flying solo today for the very first time. You can call in your question or comment at 800-773-0355. We are talking today about the importance of intellectual property to your small business. What is intellectual property? Well, that's anything that you basically have used your brain to create. And it can be protected by the law in the sense that if someone else tries to copy it without your permission, you, if you have used the law properly, can actually get them to stop. Or, if they don't stop, you might even be able to sue them for damages, which nobody wants to do, believe me. It sounds really great to say, well, I'll sue you or sue me. But believe me, it is a whole lot of not fun. That's what it is. And that's one of the reasons why it's so important to take care of your intellectual property up front. So if you have questions about your copyright or your trademark or your patent and how you can maximize it, how you can make money off of any of them, give me a call here live, 800-773-0355. I got an email actually a couple of days ago from someone, and I'm going to take a look at that right now. This is an email question that I got from someone in Ohio. Her name was Tara. Tara says that she got a cease and desist letter from a large company. I'm not going to name the company. She got a cease and desist letter from a large company who said that she was infringing on their trademark. She says, I'm a very small company. I have a very tiny business in Ohio, which I run from my home. Should I take this letter to heart, or can I just ignore it? That was her question. And the answer is, absolutely do not ignore it. Doesn't really matter what size the company is that sends you a letter. And by the way, for those of you who may not know, a cease and desist letter is a letter from another company that essentially asks you to cease and desist, that is, to stop using their trademark or to stop infringing on their trademark or infringing on their copyright. And if you ever get one of these, you should definitely not ignore it. So that's my answer, Tara, there. Do not ignore that letter. Take some action and take a look at what the letter is saying. It's probably saying that you are using their company name without their permission, or perhaps you took a photograph from their website without their permission or something like that. Whatever the case, stop doing it. It's not right. Take your own pictures. You make up your own company name. It's not a good idea to use someone else's, even if you didn't do it on purpose. It still is protected by the intellectual property laws of this country. Not too long ago, you guys may have heard about an interesting case brought by a man in a small town, I think in Illinois, who owned a store called Victor's Little Secret. And this man and his wife owned this store where they sold sort of racy lingerie and, kind of romantic tchotchkes. And they were actually sued by Victoria's Secret. Victoria's Secret is, of course, the well-known clothing, perfume, and especially, I guess, brassiere manufacturer. And they were sued, and Victoria's Secret actually lost that case, thinking about the name of that company, Victoria's Secret, and the store that was run by this man and his wife called Victor's Little Secret. The court in that particular case found that while those two names were similar, there was such a little chance that anybody in the public would actually confuse Victor's Little Secret with Victoria's Secret, that Victoria's Secret actually lost that trademark infringement case. So that's kind of an indication of, it's just an example of a name that is similar to another name, but not similar enough to rise to the level of actually hurting the large company. And trademark cases do not always take place between small and large companies. Big companies duke it out, and little companies duke it out. Everybody is concerned about their intellectual property. And then back up for a second and kind of define these terms a little bit more. A copyright is an original work of authorship. So again, that can be your photograph that you take, the painting that you draw, the music you record, the book you write. Anything that is an original work of authorship is copyrighted. Copyrighted from the moment of its creation. Now, what you can do to get further protection for that work is go to the United States Copyright Office. The Copyright Office is an arm of the Library of Congress. It's a federal office where you can go to file copyright applications to protect your books, to protect your magazine, to protect your email newsletter, whatever it is that you have. The Copyright Office will allow you to file an application to receive a copyright registration number. And copyrights are very inexpensive. $25, you can get a copyright for some things for $25. Other ones cost sometimes as much as $50 or $75. But the bottom line is that once you do that, then your work of authorship is protected by federal statute. And federal statute gives you the right to obtain damages against anybody that infringes on your copyright. So go check out www.copyright.gov. They have a really great frequently asked questions section there, and you can apply for just about any copyright you want online using your credit card. So if you can just remember that a copyright is any kind of work of authorship, that's what it is. Now, let's talk about what a trademark is. A trademark is basically a brand that you use to market your products and services. So Ford Motor Company has a trademark on Ford Motor Company. They also own a trademark registration on their blue oval logo, which is a oval-shaped logo, which happens to be blue, and it says Ford in the middle. So a company can register as a trademark essentially any word, any graphic, or any combination of words and graphics together that they use to market their products. So whatever your brand name is that you're putting on the labels on your products, on your business cards, on your brochures.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to The Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to The Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Hi there, and welcome back to the Lifestyle CEO Show. I think we took a little bit of an unexpected break there, but we are back now, and I remember where I was when that unexpected break came about. Hey, we've got a great deal of technology here, and sometimes it just surprises us. So that was a little bit of a surprise, but that's okay. We are back and ready to continue to answer your questions about copyrights and trademarks and patents and intellectual property. The number to call in your comment or question is 800-773-0355. At the United States Patent and Trademark Office website, which is www.uspto.gov, you can go and, again, read the frequently asked questions if you have any doubt at all about whether you actually even have the ability to file a trademark application to protect your trademark. Take a look at the frequently asked questions. It's really great. You can file a trademark application to get a registration, just like you can for copyrights. You can get a registration for your intellectual property. So just like you can get a registration for your book or your photograph or your CD recording, your musical recording, you can get a registration for your trademark. And in both cases, this impacts federal statutes and allows you to have a lot more protection over that intellectual property than you would otherwise have without it. Same for patents. If you think you have developed a novel, something that is not obvious, it's not already in the marketplace, a new process or a new way of doing something or a new type of product that has not been seen before, then you can apply to obtain a United States patent for that product. And for that process. And once you do that, you have a lot of new rights that you do not have if you do not take that step. We do have a question here, and actually an email question from someone who wants to know what is the difference between the letters TM that he sees people putting beside some of their company names and the R inside of the circle. Well, the difference is this. The R inside of the circle is a graphic representation to alert anyone looking at that name or that logo that it is a registered trademark, a federal registered trademark. Until your trademark is registered with the federal government pursuant to statute with the United States Patent and Trademark Office, it is not legal to place the R inside the circle next to that trademark. Instead, you use the TM symbol, which stands for trademark. That indicates that you are claiming ownership rights to that name or to that logo, but it is not registered with the federal government. Now, for all practical purposes, to anyone in business in any way, it shouldn't really matter because no one should copy your brand name or your company name no matter what, particularly if they're competing with you. But, of course, what people should do and what they do are totally different. So if you see that symbol, the R in the circle, next to someone's name or their logo, it means it's registered with the Patent and Trademark Office, and they have certain rights that someone with a name that just has the TM symbol beside it or has nothing beside it does not have. So let's talk a little bit about what a trademark or a copyright or a patent can do for you. Well, there are certain things that they do to build equity into your business. For example, if you run your business for 10 or 12 years and then you decide it's worth something and you decide that you'd like to sell it, well, guess what? The more intellectual property you own, the more valuable that business is going to be. And secondly, the more intellectual property you own that is also federally registered, that is protected by federal law from infringement, even the more valuable that business is going to be. So a registered trademark, for example, can increase the value of a business manifold. And so if you have any doubt about whether to register your trademark or to try and see if you can register it, if you're thinking about ultimately selling your business one day, it's in your best interest to do that because anyone interested in buying a business, one of the first questions they're going to ask you after how much revenue do you generate every year is make a list of all of your intellectual property, where it is, where we can find it, what the registration numbers are, and things of that nature because they want to know what they're buying that has value. Let's talk about another way that you can benefit from, let's just say, for example, a trademark. If you own a business and you have a brand name, obviously, you can license that name to other people and generate money that way. So, for example, if you own, let's just say you own a small bank, I know probably no one out there does, but it's a fairly decent example. You have a small banking institution, and it's a community bank, very small. It serves homeowners and small businesses in your area. But other regions of the country could also use a small business bank or a small consumer bank like that. Well, you can license your name if you have developed any kind of brand equity in that name. You can license that name to different business owners around the country, and then they can use that name to start their businesses. And this is similar to a franchise. There are some very distinct differences between a franchise and a licensing arrangement. And those differences are far beyond the scope of our show today. But just so you know, loosely defined, a licensing arrangement can be very much like a franchise arrangement. So, for example, a fast food chain that has developed a reputation of having, you know, the best food or whatever. If someone in your area, if you own the restaurant, if someone in your area perhaps wants to break into that business but doesn't have a brand name and doesn't have any kind of name that they can use to build their fast food restaurant, well, you could license your restaurant name to them in exchange for a fee. And so you can generate profit that way. And that's just licensing a name that you have interest in, that you have rights to. And if you, in exchange for that, get a percentage of the money made by that other restaurant that you've licensed the name to, well, then you've generated revenue without having to actually be there flipping the pancakes or the hamburgers or whatever that the other entity is selling. So, again, it's very close to a franchise arrangement in some respects, but the bottom line is you can license your name to others, and you can generate revenue based on that licensing to other companies. You can obviously generate revenue with any kind of copyrighted work. If you write poetry, for example, or if you are a singer and you record your songs and have them transferred onto a CD or a video or any kind of medium that preserves them, well, obviously you make 1,000 copies of it and you sell it for a certain price. You have been in the studio for one day creating this music, or you have been at your desk for one year writing the book or the poetry, but you are able to then duplicate that and sell it each time someone wants to buy it. You can generate money off of that. And as you grow and you develop your own quote-unquote library of copyrighted works, then your business becomes more valuable. It has more assets. It owns more things. So, again, the more, it's kind of like when you think of your own personal self in terms of your net worth. What is your net worth? Well, it's everything you own minus everything you owe, essentially. How much equity is in your home? How much personal property, cars, things of that nature do you own? And you add all that stuff up and you subtract all your liabilities, and that's your net worth. Well, it's the same general thing that's done in terms of a business. What is your business worth? Your business is worth all of its assets minus all of its liabilities. And since intellectual property, your copyrighted material, your trademarked material, your patented material is intellectual property, the more of it you own, the more net worth your business is going to be able to claim that it has. And so, again, the more of an ability you have to do to register your intellectual property, you need to be able to take a look at whether you need to do that. You know, let's say you have taken some steps to protect yourself. You do have, for example, you have, a website, for example, and you have all kinds of copyrighted material there, and maybe you even have an email newsletter that you've started. Well, guess what? That's intellectual property. That email newsletter that you generate every week or every month or however often you do it, if you write an article in there, if you own a herbal supplement business or a nutritional supplement business and your monthly newsletter is Donna's Herbs or Donna's Nutrition, then the articles that you write in there informing your customers about nutrition, informing your customers about how herbs can help them, those articles, if they are your original works of authorship, are copyrighted. And guess what? If you'd like to have a newsletter, which, by the way, this is kind of tangential, but I think every business needs to have some kind of newsletter. My friend Jamila White at the e-commerce Diva calls it the keep in touch strategy, the KISS strategy. You've got to have a way to stay in touch with your customers. You can go onto the internet and find articles that have been written by other people who will allow you to reprint their articles in your newsletter in exchange for an indication that the writing is not yours, that it's theirs, and usually they ask for a link to their website. And you'll notice there's always a copyright symbol, which indicates that that person is claiming original work of authorship rights in that writing. And so if you are a pretty good writer, guess what? You can create a body of writing and make that available to people on the internet. So if you write about natural products, for example, and you know there's lots of people out there trying to get newsletters done, but they don't have time to write their newsletters, well, guess what? You can help them by providing some copyrighted material for them, that is your copyright, and you will be able to get link backs to your website in exchange for providing that to them, and that will increase your web traffic. The other thing, of course, you can do is actually sell it. Freelance writers do this for a dollar a word or $1.50 a word. They will write an article for you. And if they have transferred all the copyright rights to you, then you own that because you've paid them for it. Sometimes freelance writers like to retain the copyrights to their work. So you have to work that out with them. And if you're a freelance writer, you need to work that out with people that you write for. Ultimately, are you giving them a one-time opportunity to publish that article, or are you selling it to them for a flat fee and they can do whatever they want with it? Those are very, very important issues if you're a writer. And they're very, very important issues if you are using a writer's material, too, because you need to know whether you have any flexibility with that writing into the future. We're going to take a little bit of a break. For those of you who might have just joined us, we're talking about your business's most valuable assets, your copyrights, your patents, your trademarks this afternoon. This is Donna Maria, and this is the Lifestyle CEO Show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.
Good afternoon. Welcome back to the last segment of the Lifestyle CEO Show. I'm your host, Donna Maria, the original Lifestyle CEO. And today we are talking about your business's most valuable asset, your patents, your trademarks, your copyrights. Now, of course, I don't mean to say that the products that you sell and the things that you create and any other asset of your business is not valuable, but what I mean to say is that your patents, your trademarks, your copyrights are perhaps the most versatile of the valuable assets that your business owns, and they're also probably the most unique. So if you sell a product that, let's just say handmade soap, for example, that's a good one because a lot of the members of the Handmade Beauty Network sell handmade soap. Well, it may be great, but it's not something that no one else can make. Anybody can learn how to make it. Anybody can learn how to make lotion, candles, creams, eyeglass cases, knit scarves, hats, anything, carvings. Anything can be duplicated pretty much. So your real asset is in the brand awareness that you create with respect to that product. So when you have the name of the company, the brand name that is displayed on your website or on your labels, on your brochures, that's where your real power is. Because while I could copy your concept, I could copy your product, I could make it myself, read the ingredients, take it to a lab, have it dissected, and tomorrow I could be making the exact same thing, just buy the ingredients and get a mixer and get a sewing machine or whatever it is and make it. But what I cannot take without you finding out about it and hopefully doing something about it is your brand name. That's not legal. I can't do that. And if you have a registration on that name, it's far easier for you to get me to stop. Well, let's talk a little bit about what to do. When my client called me last month and said, dear Donna Maria, click here to see someone who has stolen about 100 of our photographs off of our website and also every single product description we have. This company, these two companies sold the same types of herbs and natural ingredients that are used in making cosmetics. And they had spent thousands of dollars having photographs of every single ingredient taken. They were beautiful pictures. Well, someone else had come along and said, well, you know, I sell lavender, I sell shea butter, why don't I just use those pictures? Because I don't have any money, and I don't have a digital camera that works really well, and so I'm just going to take theirs. And, oh, by the way, I'm not creative enough to write some product description, so I'm just going to take theirs. And there you have it. The next day, how long does it take to copy someone's website? No time at all. You just cut and paste or copy the code and put it up, get a new domain name, and you're in business the next day. So it's easy these days for people to misappropriate your intellectual property. But the good news is that there are some things that you can do about it, starting with, as I said earlier, visiting copyright.gov and uspto.gov to learn about how you can protect yourself. Go and find out about how to file an application to register your copyright, how to file an application to register your trademark. And the federal law has taken some steps over the past 10 years or so since the expansion of the Internet to provide some statutory protection for people whose copywritten material is stolen on the Internet. For example, the Digital Millennium Copyright Act allows anyone whose copyright has been infringed to actually pull down the website of the company that has infringed on your copyright. The way this works is, this is greatly simplified. So if you've been in this situation and you have any questions, you can give us a call at 800-773-0355. But greatly simplified, what this means is that you just go and find out who it is that has infringed on your copyright. And sometimes that is a huge exercise, because a lot of times you go to a website and there's no identifying information. You don't have a name, you don't have a phone number, you don't have a city or a state. But you can find out who is hosting that website. Who is the host of that website? You can find that out doing like a network solutions search or searching on the internet. Once you find out who is hosting that website, you can contact them and confirm that they are in fact hosting the website. Let them know that one of their customers has infringed on your copyright. And through a series of steps that are specified in the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, which you can find on the internet by putting Digital Millennium Copyright Act into a search window on any search engine, follow the steps that are listed there, and you can get that hosting company to actually disable that website. Take it down, gone, nada, no more there, until that company has removed the infringing information. I had a client a couple years ago who had written a book, and it was an ebook. You could download it in PDF format on their website. And they had made it available for free to anybody who visited their website. So you could search for articles and things that you were looking for in their book, and you could also print the whole thing out and keep it for your own personal use. But it was copyrighted, and because it was an original work of authorship. So what you could not do was copy the whole thing, take it to the copy store, make 100 copies of it, and start selling it, or cut and paste it and put it up at eBay, like happened to me once. That's not allowed. But what someone had done, in fact, was copied the whole thing and put it up at their weight loss website, of all things. It's a weight loss website where you could actually go and buy this book, which my client was giving away to their site visitors for free. These people are charging like $20 or $30 for it, and people were buying it. That's what's so amazing. It shows you how you can make money on your intellectual property. People were buying this, and we wrote them a letter. We sent them an email message, called several times to ask to speak to the owner of the website. Couldn't get any kind of response at all. So we contacted the company that was hosting the website, and we had the website pulled down. And, of course, once this company started losing money and nobody was coming to their website because it was gone and people thought they'd gone out of business and they were losing who knows how much money every day. Well, guess what? They pulled it down. They let their host know that they had pulled it down. And the hosting company contacted us and said that they had pulled it down. And we gave the green light to have that site reinstated. So, again, there are some things that you can do, but the first thing you have to do is to educate yourself. And that's where coming to, for example, events like the Lifestyle CEO Conference can help. We're going to be talking about this and many other issues at the conference coming up. And this is the last 13 days. This is the last little bit of time that you have to register. So if you're thinking about coming to the conference, now is the time to do it. We have got Lisa Price of Carol's Daughter, who is going to be delivering our luncheon keynote address. And the theme of our first conference is Break All the Rules, Build Your Own Corporate Ladder, and Create the Life You Love. I'm going to be there to talk about my 7 passion principles for succeeding in business and also my view it, then do it philosophy of business and home management. Because, of course, as small business owners, we not only have to worry about the business, we have to stoke the home fires, too, especially if we're involved in a relationship or if we're moms. We really gotta take care of that. Can't leave everybody else out in the cold just because we have a business. We're talking about the day-to-day reality of life as a business owner. And, of course, while we encounter many of the same issues as other businesses, we also experience lifestyle concerns that do not impact other types of business owners. So you need to come and network and be there and learn, and we can share together. And I'm also going to be including everyone is going to leave the conference with their own business action model. This is not a business plan like you see in all the books out there where you have a section on marketing and a section on competition and a section on finance and a section on management, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, all that stuff is important, but also action is important. A business plan does not really help you get off of your duff and take some action. I know moms and small business owners with business plans that are 20 and 30 pages long. They've been writing them for 2 and 3 years, and guess what? They're just business plans. They haven't done anything. They don't have a website. They don't have anything there. We are going to let every attendee is going to leave with her own business action model, and plus we're going to have a Lifestyle CEO launch party. It is going to be so much fun. Our afternoon panel of women who are doing it in their business and in home management are going to be there to share their success stories and help everyone learn from their mistakes. We are going to be at the Hilton Hotel in Silver Spring on January 28th, breakfast, lunch, all-day affair, and on-site licensed child care will be available. Visit the website at lifestyleceo.com, and you'll see a link right there. For those of you who are listening to this show today and have not called in, you can email me at dm@lifestyleceo.com, and you can ask your trademark, copyright, or patent intellectual property question right there. Otherwise, you know what? We are going to sign off for the week. We've got some great things coming up over the next couple of weeks for you. We have several guests who I know you're going to be excited about meeting, including Paula Deen of the Popular Food Network TV show. We've got Jack Canfield of the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. We have Julie Clark, who's coming up to be a guest in a couple of weeks on January 30th, the founder of the Baby Einstein Company. We've got moms and people who are going to show you how to do it in small business because they've done it. So we invite you to continue to join in, continue to listen to us live, listen to us on our audio tapes at globaltalkradio.com. It is such a pleasure to bring you this show and to empower you to break all the rules, build your own corporate ladder, and create the life you love. I hope to see you guys next week right here, 1 o'clock Eastern, on the Lifestyle CEO Show. This is Donna Maria, and I'll talk to you next week. Have a great week, everyone.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.